it is, once again, it is such an honor. How many of you men have been on a Man Up adventure? I know some of you just got back from one that was just Central Adams Friendship. We have one, I believe, next week that's going to be tail end of next week. It's going to be down in Arkansas in the Ozarks. And Galen Thompson and Brother Nathan Thompson are founder and co-founder of Man Up Adventures. But their ministry goes beyond just the Man Up Adventures. Brother Galen has been here on numerous occasions with Sister Ann. And they've been do a tremendous job teaching and training. And they were supposed to be here earlier this year, and COVID kind of messed everything all up. And when I found out that they were both going to be in town for the same, it's like, we can't pass this up. So, Brother Galen, it is an honor to have you here, Sister Ann, and come minister to us tonight. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, and it is indeed an honor to be here. And if had any idea that I was going to be preaching, I would have brought clothes to dress down a little bit. But I apologize. It's good to be here with you. Good to have my wife and my family here. And it's good to be here in October, Pastor Appreciation Month. And I appreciate your pastor. And count him a friend. And please do remember all of your pastors this month, thanking God for them. Amen. You may be seated. And it is good to be back amongst friends, and as always, an honor to minister in any way that we can when we come here. So thank you for that opportunity. Tonight I'd like to speak on the subject entitled The Shift. The Shift. Shift means simply to move or cause to move from one place to another, especially over a small distance. Also means change in emphasis, direction, or focus. Oftentimes, and I know that it's just past the major part of the baseball season, but when maybe a left-handed batter comes up to bat, the defense puts on a shift, thinking that the probability is much higher that he's going to hit a ball towards right field. The third baseman will shift over towards where the shortstop would be, and shortstop shifts over almost to second base, and second baseman kind of fills a gap between halfway between first and second, and the first baseman generally holds pretty tight to the line. They didn't swap fields, and one didn't go way out and all over the field, but it was a shift. Not necessarily huge movements, but enough movement to make a difference. I believe that it is possible to be ignorant of a shift, sometimes because shifts aren't always heralded and announced. They sometimes just happen. And when we think about that, it's possible to be ignorant of a shift and in time find yourself on the wrong side of a shift. Maybe ignorantly and passionately defending a past tradition or past choice when God has moved on. Jesus warned those in his day, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." It's very evident that in the time of Christ that those who knew the God of the Torah were missing a shift that was happening right before their eyes, a fulfillment of that which was in the Old Testament. And we think and hear even the words of Jesus as he speaks and says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Those words yet speak to us today because the Spirit of Christ is always on the move. And it's important and vital for you as a person and us collaboratively as a church to be able to sense the shift of the wind, the shift of what the Spirit is doing, lest His movement and His shift and His direction, we miss it, and then ignorantly, or because of our ignorance or insensitivity, may find ourselves actually working against the will of God. If you could go with me to Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse number 35, reading through chapter 10, verse 1. As you're turning there, I will make mention in the New Testament, it wasn't long after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that many, like Saul of Tarsus, were found ignorantly kicking against the pricks. The once God-ordained system of a priesthood and animal sacrifices shifted when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and split the veil, opening up the temple so that it wasn't just a high priest. He made it open and available to everyone. And we discover as we move in past the Acts of the Apostle and even in the Acts of the Apostle that there are those who are fighting against this shift. They're trying to hang on to the priesthood. I just want to give an example of a shift in the New Testament and begin to build on that with my thought this evening concerning the shift. I say that because we are in a shift. I don't think that I'm coming here to give you anything revelatory, but the church is in a shift. The world is in a shift because it is a shift that is happening in heaven that has its ramifications on earth. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 1. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Christ had a magnificent, supernatural, powerful ministry. Healing the sick, all manner of diseases, preaching the kingdom of God. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were scattered and weary like sheep having no shepherd. The reality is, at this stage in the ministry of Christ, he has already gathered his disciples, but he's working as an example and a mentor to them. At this point in time, he's one person. And he looks out and he realizes as he's healing the sick and he's casting out demons and he's doing a great work of God, he sees that the work is so significant and he's moved with compassion for the multitude, understanding he's just one guy. Of course, not just guy, it's Jesus Christ, but we understand he's operating alone in these gifts. Then what he does is he says to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." We could read that and completely miss that there's a shift taking on, where he's telling his disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest. You see, Jesus was in tune to the timing within the kingdom when a shift needed to take place from where he no longer would be the sole operator of the gifts of the Spirit, but he's about to delegate that power and authority to other people so that he can multiply himself amongst others, and a shift is going to take place. And so that ends the ninth chapter of Matthew. We flip the page into chapter 10. Of course, when the Bible is written, there were no chapters, but nonetheless, the last thing that was said in that previous chapter, he's telling his disciples to pray the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers. Then we read, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, the prayer was answered. You flip the chapter. And he calls the 12 to him, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. I'd like to take a look at this in Luke's account. It's very close, but I want to continue then to build out of Luke's account of this scenario. So Luke chapter number 9, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. In the Greek, dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. He gave them power and authority, exousia, which is delegated power. So he gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You've got to understand this is a shift. Prior to this time, they weren't doing the preaching. They weren't doing the healing. They weren't doing the casting out the demons. It was reserved for Christ. But now he's saying that the kingdom is shifting, and when it shifts and the need is here and is arising, it's important that I take this power, Christ's power, within himself and delegate it as though he was deputizing these people and saying, I'm slapping a star on your chest, and every power I have, I'm giving you, and now I'm sending you to do what I have been doing. You've been watching me do. The shift begins to take place as he expands the influence. So they went, verse 6, they departed and they went through towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is a kingdom shift. I'd like you to observe in Matthew 28:18, I did not give them the scripture put up, but I'll just read it short. 28:18, all authority, exousia, all authority in heaven and in earth was given to me, Jesus said. He's got it all. Jesus healed the sick. He opened blinded eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He raised the dead. He expelled demons. He plundered Satan's house. But he was only one person. And he could only reach so many. And so moved with compassion on the hurting and the lost, that's when he cried out and he said to pray for the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is unfolding a kingdom plan. I would like for us to notice the one chapter later, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. There is a great or another shift or a progression of kingdom work that is demanded in chapter 10. And it says in verse number 1, after this, the Lord appointed 70 other, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go! I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Verse number 9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Verses 16 through 19. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Again, you're my ambassador. You're my priest. You're my deputy. When you speak, they're listening to me because I've empowered you and I've given you the authority. You can use my name and all the power and the authority that I have. And then he says to them, whoever rejects you isn't rejecting you, they're rejecting me because I'm the one who sent you. He continues. Whosoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whosoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, you told us to go heal the sick and to preach the gospel. We did it. Not only that, but even demons were subject to us. You didn't even mention demons, but we're coming back and saying, my Lord, it's absolutely amazing. And I want you to consider and think about who these 70 are. None of them are named. We don't even know one name of the 70. As a matter of fact, in my estimation, what happened is Jesus Christ came to a group of people who were sitting like we have here tonight. And he said, there's a shift taking place. I need more help. And out of the group of 300, he picked 70 or whatever the number, 500. He said, I need people. These were just people who were there because they were a disciple. Nothing more, nothing less, because they showed up. And because they were in the house of God, and because they were there in love of God and his kingdom, he saw their hearts and he appointed them. And so they came back and they said that, and Jesus said to them, listen to what Jesus said. I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning flash. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. Regardless of fear and intimidation tactics and lies of the Satan, I've empowered you. So here Jesus designated a group of 70 and prepare a number of towns for his later visits. He literally was saying, now I want you two to go to this town. And I want you two to go to this town because I'm going to come and you're going to prepare the way. All of them, 35 different communities, was on Christ's agenda. And before he ever got there, he had prepared the community through signs, wonders, miracles, demons cast out, people being healed. Because he knew he was coming, because there was a shift in the kingdom that he needed to expand the influence. They were not unique in their qualifications. They were not more educated, more capable, or of higher status. Matter of fact, they were not one of the 12. No name, title, office, pedigree, degree, church building, clergy credential was mentioned or required. Are you ready for the shift? Indistinct, unnamed, Jesus gave authority and power to nondescript disciples to do extraordinary things, and then he entrusted them to go ahead of him in pairs to all the towns and the villages that he planned to visit. There was only two things that prepared them for this miraculous mission. They were available, and they were equipped by Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus had you in mind when he was speaking of this 70. Listen to what he says starting in verse number 19, Luke 10, 19 and 21. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Are you envisioning yourself? Back up. Put yourself in this. Don't think of anybody else because it's not the 12. It's the average person, the ordinary saint. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. At that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. That term, joy of the Holy Spirit, literally comes from the sense of being so excited that one would jump and spin. If Jesus ever did a Holy Ghost dance, because he said it in the Spirit, this is where he does it. When he sent the ordinary people out and they came back with the reports and he says to them, I gave you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and nothing's going to hurt you. He does a dance. This is so exciting because a shift has taken place. Look at what has happened. Satan has fallen like lightning. This is a shift in the kingdom. Then listen to what he says. And he said, oh, Father, he's looking up to heaven with that gleam of joy upon his face after rejoicing. Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever. The whole present religious structure has missed it. And he's saying that with joy on his face simply because of the fact he cannot give his gifts to those who aren't with him and when he's moving and catching the shift and the drift. And he says, oh, Father in heaven, you kept that from those who think they're wise and clever, and you've revealed them to babes or childlike. And he says, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. It pleased you. Yes, it's happening. I have now distributed my spirit to everyone, to the average. Now, we know it's not everyone yet until the book of Acts. But it is a shift and a progression. I'd like for you to carefully consider this. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed in terrible anguish. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Instead, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority. With soldiers under me, I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those who followed him, I tell you the truth. I have not found such faith in anyone in Israel. I'm here to tell you, there is a shift. There is a shift that is taking place within the heavenlies. And what is in the future and in the present and is building into the future is the absolute necessity of every saint understanding their need to be fully engaged in the mission. He is releasing his power into the pew. I want you to understand, he has not been caught off guard by COVID. It didn't take him by surprise. As a matter of fact, I believe that God has his plans and his ways in all things that happen. And just maybe, we got a little bit too attached to a church building and we forget what the church really is. It's not the place where we gather together in a building. But you are the church wherever you are, wherever you walk, wherever you go. In your home, in your neighborhood, you are the church. And sometimes we find ourselves gathering together as a unified body, which is important, underneath the roof somewhere, where the will of the Lord might just be that instead of just all of you being gathered here, that out of this group maybe ought to be 15, 20, 25 churches, because there's enough people here to see 15 to 20 to 25 churches in this surrounding area. And he's all right with saying, you know what? If I have to detach you a little bit from a building, that's okay. That's all part of my plan. Because what's coming isn't going to be a dependence upon building anymore. Because there may come a time in a short future where we find ourselves under persecution and our building's taken from us. They've already tried to see what level they can push it. But the problem is we were so satisfied with doing nothing but just getting our families ready and try to get them to church on time. And we come and we let somebody feed us and we all become obese Christians when he's saying, no, you don't get it. There's a shift taking on. I need everybody to understand who they are in this hour for what's ahead, because you're going to have to feed instead of being fed. It's time you realize there's a shift taking place. I'm glad to tell you that this church has been training its people and preparing for the future. I don't want God to have to take a centurion, a Roman, who knew nothing about the Torah, and say, you got your miracle. I haven't even seen that kind of faith amongst the apostolics. Because we got so accustomed to having somebody else do the miracles and for us to show up and let someone else administer the miracles. When all along, when he gave the Holy Ghost, he gave that same authority to absolutely everyone in the pew. So is delegated authority only for a select few? Some teach that miracles, signs, and wonders ceased with the apostles. No, sir. Others teach that miracles, signs, and wonders reserved only for the ordained clergy. No, sir. However, God's word teaches that God works through anyone who will make themselves available to him without reservation. Allow me, in just the last few minutes before the top of the hour, to share some very personal things with you, but felt that I needed to tonight. On February 18th this year, I had a dream. And we can all move that back and know that that was prior to you wearing masks. And on the dream, I was on a hill, actually a high bluff, overlooking the Mississippi River, with a group of like-minded apostolics, and I knew it was leaders. It was an absolutely beautiful day. It seemed like probably late morning, very bright sun, very light, comfortable breeze. Everything was quiet, peaceful, pleasant, comforting. We were absolutely enjoying everything as status quo, just as it was, thoroughly enjoying our time on the top of this bluff, looking down at the Mississippi River Valley, and the river was probably about a quarter mile out from where we were, so you could, instead of looking right down to see it, you could look out and see the river and the entire valley. While we were observing and seeing it and just all talking and busy about just our fellowship and things like that, there was a little ripple that went across the waves, across the river, on the top of the water. And if anybody's been fishing and you've been out in a boat and a little gust, a little breeze comes by, you can just see how it flits like that across the top of the water. Well, we were on the east bank looking west, so from the north, from our right, we saw this little strip of go right down the Mississippi River. And we just kind of like all looked at it and were just puzzled for a little bit. And we just went back and kind of didn't think anything about it and went back to normal, or what we thought was normal. Shortly thereafter, we heard a sound coming from downriver, and it was very loud. And we turned to look downriver, and here the river was coming back upstream against the current going down at 10 times the force of the river going downstream. We were stood there and absolutely shocked to see the river coming back upstream at this rapid and boiling force. And we just looked at each other again with this puzzlement about us. And it was just a few moments later, all of a sudden we heard from our right, which would be the north, a much, much louder sound than we heard coming from the south. And we looked and we saw massive waves coming from the north, 30 and 50 and 80 feet high. And as they got closer, we realized it wasn't water, but it was earth. And it was the earth just coming in waves towards us. And you saw like an 80-foot rambler and garage, big white house, just instantly, boom, gone under it. And it was at that point when it was approaching us that we realized the speed and the rapidity with which this was moving. There was absolutely nothing we could do. It was here and it was upon us. And at that point, I instantly woke up. After those kinds of dreams, it's hard to go back to sleep. So you lay there and you pray. Help me understand, God. I didn't get in any answers. But I continued to pray and to try to ascertain what was taking place and to understand. Of course, within a matter of days, I began to maybe get an idea of what that dream was about. On March 13th, less than 1 month later on Friday. I was awakened by a dream remarkably similar to the first dream I had less than a month earlier. The only difference was we were up on the same bluff overlooking the Mississippi River in a house, a white house that was located on the top of the hill overlooking the Broad River Valley. It was very early in the morning, and when I woke up in the house, and I don't remember who all was in the house, it's immaterial, but I realized that there was something, we had a sense that something was wrong, none of the plumbing was working, everything seemed to be wrong, and we couldn't get anything to inside the house to work, everything, we were confused, and so I burst out the door of the house to take a look to see what was going on, and when I got outside of the house, I was absolutely shocked and appalled. Where the house, which was up on the top of the bluff, was set back a bit, the house was now as this pulpit on the very edge. And I looked out. Instead of the Mississippi River being a quarter mile away, the Mississippi River, the entire course of the Mississippi River had been altered. And it was now cutting underneath the foundation of the house. And it was roaring and it was splashing. And again, when I saw all this, and I saw this, and for me at that point in time, again, boom, I woke up. Just a week ago or week and a half ago, not sure exactly. Actually, it was October 1st. We had a day of prayer and fasting. And that day of prayer and fasting, I felt like God gave me some clarity. In the first vision on the hilltop overlooking the Mississippi River, three events took place. The rippling of the wind was going downstream. The river roaring with waves back upstream. Then the mountainous waves coming downstream that turned out to be waves of earth destroying and burying everything in its course. All three were waves, but each sequentially intensified. I believed and believe that the first wave was COVID. Just the ripples on the water. There were two remaining judgments to strike the heart of America, which was typified by the Mississippi, which cuts through the middle of the nation. The judgment to come will be such to cause the world to know that this is the hand of God. While they may result in difficulty for Christians, they will also bring sequential harvest that matches the intensity of the catastrophe. Dream number two, the house on the hilltop where we came and we stood before, but now saw the entire course of the Mississippi and surrounding landscape was altered, and the earth was eroded near and beneath the house. First, the landscape of America will forever and is forever changed and will be by the culmination of all events that has already changed. We will never go back. Working at headquarters at North American Missions, I get to read reports and I see many people saying, please pray for us to go back. And I don't write them back, but inside I pray for them because I know we're not going back. The house is the church. It stood in spite of precarious circumstances where all other structures were turned beneath the earth. However, the foundations beneath the church, digging underneath the church, were eroded. I'm not talking about apostolic doctrine of one God and Holy Spirit and filling in salvation. But it stood for traditions. He had to undercut our comfortable traditions. So they were eroded. The church will never return as the church was before, and our previous concept and dependency upon the physical building and definition of the church. Follow God in this vital timing. Keep moving. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But only those who act upon God's directives versus simply knowing God's directives reap God's orderings. You see, they his purpose, as he said to his disciples, he said, it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Woe unto us as a church if a heathen can discern the time while we're only praying to keep it as it was always in past. There are those who might take our place, and he will do that, but he does not do that without giving you and I the first opportunity to respond. And the great shift, and I know that my time is about run out, the great shift is a shift for us to understand that everything that happened in the time of Christ is happening now. It is the time for the church to realize, church as church was, where you could come and you could sit and there, thank God you were able to do it. And God was fine with all that, but God's saying things are changing. Your need to begin to prepare and to understand and to plan. I don't know how soon those things are coming. God didn't give me any of that kind of stuff. But I do know and I do understand, as I have been listening, that I'm not the only person who's saying what I'm saying. I heard, even before I ever had the dream, probably 2-3 months ago, I heard one of our evangelists speaking about how that God is bringing a shift and the church has got to be ready for the shift. And he was begging for the church to become sensitive for the shift. And now the shift is upon us and it's begun. And the other thing that I felt as I was praying is that the Lord said to me that now things are beginning to speed up. Everything was just kind of going, but now it's beginning. And I saw a dark cloud coming towards the United States and towards where we were. And I began to understand it was a dark cloud of fear. But he says that it is not his will that the church should be afraid. And we will discover that the fear will be that which sifts the church. But don't be one who is so distant from God that you can't see and feel. Because when you understand the shift, it brings meaning to everything. And you're aware of it. And instead of being crushed by the wave, you're out there riding the wave. You're the one who's going to be there. Who's going to reach the world? Who's going to reach the harvest? He has promised us a harvest like has never been before in the history of mankind. He's going to bring people in. He's already starting to bring backsliders in just through COVID. But I'm here to tell you, it can't happen with just a sole pastor in a church podium somewhere. But he's got to have everybody. And he's in this room right now. And he's picking you out of this crowd. And he's saying, I'm giving you authority. It's time for you to begin to understand and pray and work with your leadership to understand what is about to happen. Let's stand. The shift is now. The kingdom demands it. God uses ordinary human beings. We only see our weakness and our failures, but he sees the blood and the fact that we've got enough faith to show up to the house of the Lord tonight. I'm not a great miracle worker. I'm just one of the nameless people. Pulled out of the crowd of the faithful followers. I'm nothing but an anybody's disciple. I don't feel like one of the 12. Can we, like the nameless 70, grasp our role? Trust his favor despite our ordinariness? It was when the 70 returned with their testimonies that Jesus danced, and he is about to dance again. I close with this. After the tragic death of Saul and 3 of his sons by the hands of the Philistines on Mount Gilboa, Abner, captain of Saul's army that was just defeated, took Ishbosheth, Saul's son that wasn't killed, and made him king over Israel. At the same time, God speaking to David and directs him to go to Hebron, where he becomes king. Oh, he was already anointed king, but he assumed his rightful position. So God had anointed David, but Abner appointed Ishbosheth. There was a shift. Which side will you be on? Hanging on to Saul? Or are you going to go with God's will? It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23 through 25, verse 32, "For at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army," and I feel the Holy Ghost, "like the army of God." Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Will you respond to him right now? In the name of Jesus, we come, we grab a hold, oh God. We give a commitment to you tonight, Lord Jesus, in this place, because the times demand it. The hour is here. You have heard the word that has come from the Lord. Hallelujah. You're part of the army that he's raising up. He is looking for you tonight. Will you respond to him? Will you respond to him? Come on, get into his presence tonight. Open up your heart and say, "Yes, Lord, I've heard your word tonight. I have heard your word tonight. I've heard your word tonight."
The atmosphere is changing now.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now. Do you feel it in the house? Respond to it. It's Wednesday night when he's calling you to join the army tonight. Hallelujah.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around.
The evidence
that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changed. For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus, prepare our hearts, Lord God. We're surrendering to you, oh God, in this moment, in this hour, oh God. In the name of Jesus,
that the Spirit of the Lord is here to overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love. Surround us. the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. Your
shift. Do you sense it in your spirit tonight as the Spirit speaking and confirming His word in your heart? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yes, the atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord.
At that time, they came to David day by day to help him. Until it was a great army like the army of God. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to David according to the word of the Lord. Of the sons of Judah bearing the shield and the spear, 6,800 armed for war. The chapter goes down, tribe after tribe after tribe. But let me jump down to verse number 32. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. No number is given for Issachar, because there's one man and one people, because they understood the time, they were ready, and they gave a shift. And you begin to look at this scripture. Issachar alone, unanimously, and immediately followed David. Why? What was the difference? Why was it only 8,000 from Judah and not all of Judah? Because they had the understanding of the times to know what they ought to do. Their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. God has raised your pastor up for this hour. In the leadership of this church, they have a vision. There's a shift. Please don't find yourself on the wrong side of the shift. Heavenly Father, thank you. I believe, Lord, we're standing amongst the sons of Issachar. And as a church, on a Wednesday night, we make a commitment. Commitment to tune our ears, to have understanding of the times, to know what we should do. And we commit to your cause in the lovely name of Jesus Christ.
has been quite the prophetic word tonight. I've shared with a few of you. Had some pretty heart-to-heart conversations the last few months. Things have been... We're in a war, church. And the enemy is doing everything he can do to stop what God has already ordained to happen. Brother Repka, it's coming. It's coming fast. So much of what Brother Thompson has preached tonight, I'm sitting over there thinking over the last few years and messages that this is nothing new, church. I said this just last time I stood behind this pulpit. We've run out of time. We can't look at the end time and say, well, when it gets here, it's already here. It's swallowing us up. We've talked about God sorting out the church, sifting. What is ahead of us is much, much, much more powerful than anything that has ever behind us. You could take all of the Holy Ghost from this point backwards, and what is ahead of us is nothing in comparison to where we've been versus where we're going. I preached the message, not all of us are going to make this journey. God desires all of us to make it. I want to thank Brother Thompson tonight for speaking so plain and clear. I've shared this many times. God has given I've had some dreams. I've shared it with the congregation. I'm not going to try to get into like a competition here, and I don't want you to feel this way with Brother Thompson tonight, but I had the dream of this giant warehouse. I talked to you about this. Two different messages I preached. I've always puzzled as to what the meaning of that warehouse was, because many of you here tonight were in chains inside of that warehouse. I couldn't understand it. And as God, as we begin to go through all of this mess that we're going through right now, God just laid it out and said, what I showed you is the church is being enshackled by complacency. I'm okay with just church once a week now. I'm okay with it online when I can catch up with church. God says, listen, it can't be that way. We cannot allow the enemy to bind us into a spirit of complacent living. We've got to break out of that, church. Whatever you have to do in your own life, whatever you have to give up, whatever you have to change, I beg of you to make that change, because the shift that Brother Thompson is speaking of, things are about to change radically. I feel this so strong. Radically shift so quick that so many people are going to be caught so off guard. But there's no reason, church, there's no reason at all why we should be caught off guard. Because we are talking about it right here, right now, right tonight. You say, well, Pastor, how much time do we have? Weeks. It's no longer years. It's no longer months. It's weeks down to days. As a bride would count off the days before her wedding, it may be a year out, and then it's months away, and then it's weeks away, and then it's, when's the big day, Sister Brittany? 21 days, 14 hours, and 17 minutes. It's coming, church. And God is saying, we as a body have to step up. We have to change how we perceive church to be. I said this past weekend, how many of you are willing and ready to have church in your homes? How many of you are willing to be the neighborhood light in your neighborhood? God is calling you to be a leader. We just talked about this. God is calling you to be a leader. Leader. A leader that understands the times and understands how to lead in these times. God is putting this all together, church. It's all coming together. It's been a fight. This year has been a battle like I have never had to battle before in my entire life. I've wanted to give up so many times and say, Lord, I just can't do this. I'm just leveling with you. But God says, just a little bit more. Just a little bit longer. It's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. It's almost over. It's almost over, church. I love every last one of you dearly. And God has a purpose, a calling. There's a reason why you are here. There's a reason why you've gone through all of the steps, all of the pain, all of the frustration, all of the hurt, all the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. There's a reason why. Because God is going to use that. Brother Ryan, God is going to use everything you've dealt with in your life so that you can lead others to Him. Let's all stand tonight. I don't want to. Thanks again, Brother Thompson. As we close this out in prayer, I'm not for sure, Brother Kirby, Russ Waters, is that your dad? His dad was tested positive today for COVID, and I believe he's pretty high risk, if I can make that assumption, with some health issues in his past and such. Brother Kirby, why don't you just come right down here, the middle. If you're not comfortable, we could social distance. We can all just lay our hands from you, brother. as we pray for Russ Waters, let's also just pray that God would continue to lead and guide and direct us as individuals. God, I thank you. We just talked about the 70 and the miraculous. God, I pray, Lord, for my brother Kirby. I pray, God, as he prays, as we pray for his father tonight, who tested positive today for COVID, Lord, that your hand would be upon him, that you would heal him and touch him. Lord, his mother is saved, has been a faithful Christian for many, 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 many years. His father is not saved. Lord, I pray that you would use this, God, to bring him into the kingdom for such a time as this, Lord. I also pray for Calvary Gospel Church, for each and every brother and sister, family that is here. Lord, this shift is taking place, yet as we speak, change is coming, unlike what we have ever seen. Lord, I pray, God, you are equipping us right here tonight. You are teaching us, equipping us on how to deal with what is ahead of us. God, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be upon us, that your power, your anointing, God, would flow across this congregation, my brothers and sisters. God, help us, Lord God, to step up to the challenge. God, it's not just the pastor or the bishop or the ministers. God, it's all Dane County is our entire responsibility as a church. God, I pray that you would use us. God, anoint us. Help us, Lord, take away the fear, the intimidation, God. Help us to be confident. To be confident, Lord. God, you are God. You are God. There is none beside you, God. There's none above you. God, you spoke this world into existence. God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Calvary Gospel Church. We love you, appreciate you. Thank you again so much, Brother Galen Thompson. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Love you all. Remember the ladies. We have a special glamping fire night for you on Saturday. If you have any questions, Sister Lindsay Simmons would be the one to see here tonight. Brother Nathan Thompson will be preaching to us Sunday morning. We're excited about that. God bless you. We will see you back here on Sunday morning.